going to read Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
Wow. I'm needing God's grace this morning, you know. I think you are too, but I'm needing it more than you are. When I prepared this sermon, I really enjoyed it. It was really going well. And today it's not. The last 3 days have been hell. People have been stabbing me in the back. I've not got my violin out. I'm just telling you a fact. And it hurts. It hurts. It's the most painful it's been for several years in this church. And it hurts. So I am going to talk this sermon today to myself and to you, I hope, as well. But life isn't easy, is it? Is it? It's full of problems. Hurts, hidden wounds, memories that we try to hide. It hurts. One of the most deepest hurting things has been rejected, isn't it? I don't know, in your life, if you've ever been rejected by a partner or your parents or another peer. And these feelings that we carry, these hurts go deep. And they can be stirred up so easily, can't they? You know, when you go for a wee paddle and you move your foot and all the sand rises and gets all murky. That's what sometimes happens in our lives. And we think it's going well and then all of a sudden all this stuff comes to the rise again. Wow. They really do. So how do we deal with hurts? How do we deal with pain? How do we deal with these sore memories that we have in our lives? Do you want me to tell you? God's healing grace. Do you believe in God's healing grace? That's how God deals with our wounds. And this is the verse that we're using today. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. Did you hear that? That verse is for you and it's for me. God heals the brokenhearted and binds up our wounds. Even the ones we don't see, even the ones we think that have been dealt with. How does God heal us? How does he fix our wounds? Do you know how? By telling us, and he's told you this many times before in your life, he's by telling us that you're valuable. Do you believe that you're valuable? Other people might say you're a waste of space. But our God knows that you are valuable. He wants to tell you you're valuable. He wants to tell you that you're important to him. Do you believe that? I want to believe that so much. Am I valuable? Am I important to him? We're so valuable that he sent his son to heal us. Did you hear that? It wasn't cheap. He sent his son to heal every one of our problems, our hassles. We're valuable. We're important. God sent his son Jesus because he knew that we were hurting, that we needed healing, that we were brokenhearted, that we felt rejected, emotionally bruised, physically bruised. We had bad memories. And God saw all these hurts. And he sent us Jesus to heal them. Haven't we got an amazing God? You all know this verse inside out and backwards. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And now we can show the verse, John. No, you've gone. We're just getting to that bit. There we go. Thank you, John. So, this is where you put your own name in. For God so loved Chris. I don't know if I believe that. That he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. That if Chris would believe in Jesus, Chris would not perish, but Chris would have everlasting life. Can you all read that together using your own name? For God so loved that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that if... Do you know something? That's a fact. Did you hear that? It's a fact. God loves me. God loves you. He wants what's best for us. But do you know what else? He doesn't say that we have to feel it. We all want to feel things. We want our emotions gratified. But it's a fact that God loves us. We are important. He wants to heal us. Part of the healing process is that we love ourselves, that we deal with ourselves. Look at this. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may provide what that is good, acceptable, and perfect for the will of God. We can be transformed. Can change our thinking. Can renew our mind. Do you realize how powerful your thoughts are? They give you direction. They control you. It says here, as a man thinks in his heart, he is. Your thoughts control what you do, how you think, how you react completely. If you think you're a failure, what's going to happen? you're going to fail. Wow. How we think determines how we act, how we respond, how we exchange our relationships with one another. We should be thinking in ways that please our Father God. Something that God wants to give us is encouragement. I'm sure you all saw Gillian Keegan on the news this week, yes? That she was making notes of her expletives. That's not what she was trying to say, though. It was, nobody ever thanks us for doing that job. No one ever encourages us for doing that job. No one says, great job, well done, nobody. But I tell you what, shut your try being a minister. Everybody criticises everything you do, how you say what you do, everything. Nobody ever says thank you, or that was good, or that was encouraging. Shut your try that. Goodness me, but God wants to encourage us. But you know, we as human beings are our own enemy. You know, because sometimes when people don't think negatively about us, we think negatively about ourselves, don't we? And that's a struggle. That's a struggle. But God wants to break that pattern. He wants us to accept his way of thinking. Look what it says in Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you want that? I want it. Renew my mind, God. God knows that we're sinners. God knows that we've messed up. But you know, he still loves you. That's incredible. Now, I've got three words today that God wants to tell us. He wants to tell us lots of things, but three words that he wants to tell us today, and it's already there. He wants to tell you that you're accepted. Do you want to be accepted? He wants to tell you you're accepted. Do you remember, I don't know about you, but I have got the most horrific memories of school. Do you? Oh, do you remember playtimes? And the cool guys would be up the front, being the captains of the team, and they'd be choosing you. And of course, I'd be sitting there going, I'm going to be last anyway, which I was. Never picked. Got my violin out here. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts to be rejected. My memories of school, as you know, are all horrible. Primary school was full of just going to meetings because the school thought I should be going to a special needs school because I couldn't read and write. Because dyslexia wasn't invented in those days. Lots of rejection in here. And I'm sure you have lots of rejection in your life. I was talking to Alison the other day. And we could all have each other crying, couldn't we? If we brought out what was happening in our lives, the things that have happened, the bad things. But God has made us a new creation. Wow. God wants us to know that we've been chosen. We've been accepted. He wants us on his team, whatever the game might be. Do we deserve it? No. But he still wants us on his team. He wants us to know that we're important. Paul says this, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. So that God will be given glory. Accept one another the same as Christ has accepted you. Can we do that as a family? If we can, we wouldn't be hurting each other. We accept that Christ has invited us. He's welcomed us into his presence. Because you're a valuable member of his family. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me and where I am. He's inviting you into his house as an honoured, as a welcome guest. God has a place for us. He's a place for us even though he knows everything that's bad about us. He still loves us and wants us to live with him for the whole of eternity. Wow. When we become Christians, Jesus becomes our Saviour. When we become Christians, other brothers and sisters, other Christians are brothers and sisters. That's not always easy, is it? But they are. It's a big family we belong to. But we're all accepted. We're all forgiven. God accepts us into his family. It says here, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he's invited you as his children to live with him in glory. The second word that we're looking at that God wants to say to us today is, you're valuable. Well, we've already kind of covered that. Are we going, John? There we are. Valuable. And it says here, let me read this to you. What's the price of two sparrows? One copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than the whole flock of sparrows. You are valuable to God. Whatever's happening in our life, God knows it. That's why we read Psalm 139. He knows when we're awake, when we're asleep. He knows when we're falling down, when we're feeling bad, when we're rejected, when we're hurt. He knows how many tears that we're shedding. He knows when we're lying in bed at night, not being able to sleep, worrying about stuff. He knows us that well. I know you. I know how many hairs you have in your head. You are valuable, more worth more than a flock of sparrows. I am valuable. You are valuable. You've got great worth. How do you judge the value of something? Do you know? How many of you watch the antique shows? I love them. But they use these next three points all the time to judge the value of something that's on offer. Okay? So this is going to be the three words. Rarity. Don't they say that? How many of these are around? This is from the 14th century. Very few of them around. It must be very valuable. What's more expensive? A diamond or a stone? I mean, if I asked us all to go out to the car park just now and find a stone, we would all come back with one, wouldn't we? Right. Let's go into the car park and try and find a diamond. Even if you go to a diamond mine, it's very difficult to find diamonds. You have to mine for it. You have to look for it. Because it's a rarity. And because it's a rarity, it has value. We are a rarity. We are unique. We're one of a kind. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what Kay just read to us, isn't it? Fearfully and wonderfully made. You know me so well. Praise God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God created me to be unique. Our personalities are all different. Our DNA is all different. Our fingerprints are all different. Now, I wonder if you know this one. Do you know that your ears are all different? You can be identified by the format of your ears. That's how unique and rare you are. You're an individual. He knows us before we were born. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows what's going on inside us. We are unique, each and every one of us. We have a value, but because we've been created in God's image. You have value. You have worth. So do I. That's a rarity. Now we're going to the next one, John. The quality. That guy in the antique show, he's always saying, quality always pays. Quality. Do you know my maker is a master craftsman? Do you know that? So is yours. I've great value. Because he who made me put all the stars in place. What a person is that? And he still made me. And he still made you. He who made me created all the colours in the universe. That is power. He who formed me created everything by his power. We can't surpass the work of our Heavenly Father, our Master Craftsman. Wow. Definitely. Rarity, quality. And the last one here is popularity. That doesn't mean how many people like you. It means how many people want that particular item. It determines how much someone's prepared to pay for that item, that object. It might be limited, so the price goes up. Now look what it says here in 1 Corinthians. You were bought with a price. What was the price for your life? Jesus' death on that cross. What a price. What a value we have. Jesus gave his life. He came to heal us. He came to make us whole. He came to save us. He died for our sins. So we don't have to die for them ourselves. He paid the price. He suffered punishment so that we don't have to suffer. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities, punished for our peace was on him. And we are healed by his wounds. We are valuable because God sent his only son to pay the price for us. Our last point. The word that God wants to tell you, and you know this inside out and backwards, but I don't think you believe it. God says he loves you. Do you know that? He does. He loves you. Do we all know what it feels like to be loved? I have to think many years ago when I was loved. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? God loves us. When we are rejected, God is telling us he loves us. He's reaching down, touching our hearts, our broken hearts. And yet we think, nobody loves me, I can't do anything. We're wrong. God loves you. The mountains may move and the hills disappear. But even then, my faithful love for you will remain. Did you hear that? The mountains and the hills can move, but I will still love you. My covenant of blessing will never be broken, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. God's love will remain on you forever. But there's two different things about between God's love and our love. The first one is that God's love is consistent. It will never come to an end. It won't flicker. God doesn't say, I love you today, and then tomorrow say, go and get lost, I can't be bothered. Does he? People might say that, but God won't. God's love doesn't change. We are used to human love, which is inconsistent. I once heard a lady say this. Growing up, I never knew if I was going to be hugged or slugged. It all depended on what mood my mum was in. Is that the kind of love you're used to? But see, God's love is the same. It's consistent. It's not human love. God can tell us the mountains may move and disappear, but even then my faithful love will remain on you. Consistent, dependable love. And another difference about God's love and ours, a human love, is it's unconditional. Isn't that a great word? Unconditional. God's love is not based on our performance. Do you know that? It's not based on our performance. It's not based on how good we are, how nicely dressed we are, how our hair is today. It's not. It's unconditional. God demonstrates his own love towards us. And that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He loves us. That's how unconditional his love is. It can't get any better. Do we want to be healed of our inner bruises and scars? Do we want God's healing? Do we want his forgiveness? Do we want to be transformed in his power? Do we want God to save us? Let me read you this passage in closing. It's from Luke chapter 14. You know this passage very well. Jesus told a story. There was a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many influential people. When it was time for dinner, no one showed up. So he called them, saying, come on over, the food's on the table. They began to make excuses. The first guy said, I bought a piece of property and I need to look it over. I can't make dinner. Another one said, I just bought a new car and I really need to check it out, make sure it's working all right. I can't make dinner. Another one said, oh, I'm going shopping. There's great sales on just now. Even though the invitation had been sent out many weeks before in advance, no one came. The host was very disappointed. He said, I will go out to the city streets. I will invite anyone who looks like they could use a good meal. I don't care if they're unemployed, how unimportant they are. I will accept them. I'll feed them. And I'll take care of them. Do you remember that passage? You should hear some of the excuses people make for not coming to church. It's just as bad as that. There's a good sale on. There's a car boot sale on up the road. I haven't washed my hair. You know, goodness me. Excuses. What excuses do we have for not following God? For not accepting the grace of his healing power. God loves you. He values you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to heal you. He wants to love you unconditionally.